A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Utah hospitals potentially on the brink. In a week or two, we're hearing that Utah hospitals could begin what's called rationing care, and it is as haunting as it sounds. Utah Hospital Association President Greg Bell called into KSL over the weekend, and I want to hear from him about, he's the president of the Utah Hospital Association. Dave, I want to hear more from him about what this means.
Hospitals who have no room start making decisions according to the triage criteria set forth in the crisis standards of care.
Okay, crisis standards of care. We're going to get into that more in a moment. Dr. Angela Dunn, the state's lead epidemiologist on the COVID crisis, reacting to this on Twitter, saying, quote, this is not okay. It's maddening that we're planning to ration care in Utah. Unacceptable. We must do everything we can to show, to slow hashtag COVID spread. No excuses.
And I would agree with Dr. Dunn. My hope, and this is a hope, I don't know if I can say it's anything more than that, but so many times throughout this pandemic, Debbie, we have heard we are 2 weeks out. It has happened so often when we see a spread, we see a spike, and we think, okay, well, we're going to see the numbers go up and we're going to be in real trouble. That has never manifested itself over the 6, 7, 8 months that we've been dealing with this. It's my hope that we're dealing with it the same situation where we're just being abundantly cautious. But again, we are seeing hospitalizations go up. ICU are filling up. Those numbers are true. So that means decisions are going to have to be made. This rationing care, we call it triage. We talk about that in the military, right? Whoever's sickest gets treated. Rationing care. And I think a lot of people are trying to figure out these terms. So are we saying rationing care is triage? It's what is it? Well, yeah, that's what we're talking about, is not everybody gets treated to the fullest extent possible.
So in the next 20 minutes, let's get into what this looks like in real life. If somebody you love ends up at the hospital and needs care because of COVID-19. We're also going to have a live interview with a state official to talk about that Mountain America Credit Union Expo Center in Sandy that they set up in March for overflow patients, just in case. Well, are we going to be on the brink of just in case in the days ahead? And will there be enough medical personnel to actually staff that overflow facility? All things of great concern to me as I read this weekend that we are on the brink of rationing care. And Utah's COVID-19 spike is not letting up. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's not kid ourselves. We had 1,765 new cases reported yesterday. I did the math. In 3 days, we had 5,333 new cases. And we know that hospitalizations are delayed from onset of symptoms. So yesterday was the second highest daily total that we've seen in Utah, Dave. And now we've got the Hospital Association in an interview with KSL over the weekend, recorded interview. I listened to the entire thing last night, and it scared me. Crisis standards of care is what they're staring at right now.
And that would mean potential life or death decisions on which treatments to use based on the available resources.
I know we've been hearing from nurses and doctors over the last several months. Here's a recent interview with a nurse who's working inside these hospitals. Let's get the picture of what things look like from her.
The hardest part of these 7 months has been watching my patients sit alone in a hospital room for days, weeks, and even months. I've watched as my patient was finally able to hug their spouse after 90 days. Can you imagine being in a hospital for 90 days without the touch or hug of your family? Can you imagine what it must feel like to be surrounded by strangers who look like aliens because they're covered in layers of PPE?
Yeah, a terrible description. A terrible description. And you can feel it. This nurse, I think her name's Katrina, as she paints that picture, it is horrific, no question.
You also, just in her voice, can hear the exhaustion. Not only are they dealing with the emotional ups and downs of trying to get their patients through this horrible ordeal, but they're working extremely long hours.
This isn't sustainable, and we're exhausted. But it's not so easy to just hire new nurses. This hasn't been easy for anyone, but all I ask is that you do what you can to protect yourself, protect me, and protect our communities.
And Debbie, when you look at the numbers, the ICU, that is the most critical. It's the people that are really on death's doorstep, right? That's the scary number. 76% of our ICU beds are filled. 76%. But as we discuss this and as we talk about these beds, so often we think, well, if 76% of the ICU beds are filled, that must be all ICU or COVID cases, right? Well, no. All the ICU beds that are filled up, and the University of Utah, I think, was at 99% on Friday. These are not all COVID cases. In fact, only 20% of these filled ICU beds are filled because of COVID. All the other beds are filled with just normal illnesses. It's strokes, it's heart attacks, it's traumatic brain injuries. 20% of those beds are filled up with coronavirus cases.
You think about just the car accidents that we have even over the weekends in Utah, Dave, and some of those patients may need, you know, yes, ICU care. And then you also think about the extended stays that COVID patients are having to endure in the ICU. So they're occupying those beds longer. The question is, if someone we love ends up needing to go to the hospital, needing an ICU bed, who gets priority under this crisis standards of care that we're now looking at? Well, it's a very haunting reality, and we are now being warned that this could come to fruition in the next couple of weeks. Let me paint you a picture of how horrible this is. If two patient conditions are equal, Dave, if you and I enter the hospital at the same time and our conditions are equal, the younger person gets the priority over the older person, since older patients are more likely to die. So what that means is, and I kind of glossed over that because it's so stark, what that means is you get the ventilator and I don't. How does that make you feel? Because truly, I mean, I think you've become my best friend in the newsroom. I would want you to have the ventilator. But how does that make you feel about me when they push me out of the ICU and
terrible.
Say Dave gets it?
Yeah, absolutely. It feels like a zero-sum game. And that's essentially what rationing healthcare is. If someone gets a ventilator, that means someone does not get a ventilator. But again, let's go back to the numbers. And before we full-on hit the panic button, I'm looking at ventilator use. We have nearly 1,300 ventilators in Utah right now. Only 230 of them are being used.
But if there's no medical personnel to hook me to one and monitor me, Dave, we can have all the equipment in the world. But if there's not a professional there who knows what they're doing to make sure I'm pulling through, then what good is it?
I'm not entirely certain. I buy that there aren't people that can monitor this. Are they qualified to the level of or trained to the certain level of the ICU standards? No, but can they get up to speed?
Oh my goodness. You've made me feel worse. So, Let's get a live interview straight ahead with Utah's hospitals filling up and other states also spiking. Will our state, will Utah be able to staff the overflow hospital that it has set up at the Expo Center in Sandy? Let's get our live guest on the line straight ahead and delve into that question.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
This news breaking just moments ago, we understand that Vice President Mike Pence will not appear in person tonight as the Senate votes to confirm Judge Amy Coney Barrett as the next justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. That just happening moments ago, Dave. We don't quite know what that means yet, but there was some concerns because five people from his inner circle tested positive for COVID-19.
And originally he was planning on showing up in case there was a tie in the vote. The vice president is the tiebreaker, and he was going to show up. But now, just coming out, we've learned that Mike Pence has decided not to attend tonight.
Utah's coronavirus spike. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Well, speaking of the pandemic, it's a practice that is typically reserved for what we call mass casualty events like natural disasters. But it actually may need to happen here. We've got hospitals in Utah are approaching the brink of capacity, of ICU capacity. Some have already created overflow ICUs. So what's next? Well, we've been talking about this. Here's what's next. Rationing care.
That means prioritizing who gets intensive care and who does not. Our spiking cases and hospitalizations could push us closer to that. Joe Doherty with the Division of Emergency Management will join us in just a moment to tell us more.
So we've been reading about and talking about this facility in Sandy that was set up right as the pandemic started to creep into Utah. And it's this just massive, of course, the Expo Center is huge anyway. And there's just massive areas of cots and places to house patients should we need extra beds. The question I have, though, Dave, is do we have enough personnel to actually staff a facility like that? And I get worried when I hear the president of the Utah Hospital Association say things like, we're already down 20-30% in medical personnel staffing right now because some of them have COVID or they have family members who have COVID. Where are we going to come up with these people?
And if you remember early on when New York was being decimated by the coronavirus, we actually sent medical personnel to help out. We talked to a nurse that was there for well over a month trying to help out in hospitals in New York. So what's it going to look like in Utah? And Joe Doherty with the Division of Emergency Management joins us right now. Joe, thank you so much for joining us. Is it a certainty that hospitals are going to have to be rationing care in the next couple of weeks?
So we actually had a meeting with the Hospital Association last week with the governor's office and some of our unified command leadership. And what they did is they gave us a briefing on what is called crisis standards of care. And the crisis standards of care is guidance for hospitals to help them make very thoughtful, ethical, moral decisions in the most extreme circumstances. We are not there yet. But what they did is they said, here's what crisis standards of care are, and it's possible if we don't get out of this trajectory that we will be asking the governor to invoke the crisis standards of care plan, which does get into very, very serious decision-making. And this comes down to if there are not enough ventilators and ICU beds and care that is available for people. Right now, we are in an unsustainable trajectory of hospitalizations, of case counts, And that's why we have a public health order in place for people to wear masks and keep their distance from others.
Joe Doherty with the Emergency Management Division joining us live on the line. You know, we've been talking about this facility down at the MACU Center, Mountain America Credit Union Expo Center in Sandy. It's, you know, lined up with extra beds, but do we have the medical personnel to staff it given the trajectory we're on right now where hospitals are working around the clock to care for COVID patients and other patients?
Yeah, you bring up a really good point. Staffing is really critical because we do have quite a number of beds, but you don't always have the right certified staff available to care for people in those beds. So we do have the ability to set up the Mountain America Expo Center as an alternate care site, and that's really only if we need extra bed space. If certain patients would perhaps need to be offloaded to a place where they don't need acute care, but maybe some ongoing observational care, it could be set up. We're not set up now. If we needed it, we could set it up in about half a day. But right now what we're doing, and we're working with the hospitals to put every contingency plan in place. So that means hospitals are activating their own surge plans. They're sharing patients in between facilities where needed. They have nurses working overtime, and they are doing heroic work.
I think we may have lost Joe. We'll reach out and see if we can quickly bring him back. But Debbie, I look at it and I think, you know, the Expo Center was prepared early on, back in, I want to say March, maybe even April, as a potential overflow. It was never used. It was never needed.
But it sounds like, Dave, it's not for ICU patients. It's just for the right patients who might be on the road to recovery.
Right.
And as I look around the nation, and you talked earlier about Utah sending nurses and medical personnel to New York at the beginning of this pandemic, as I was reviewing what's going on around the rest of the country, there are so many cases in North Dakota. They've now ended contact tracing there. They've given up on that. Wisconsin has already resorted to field hospitals, and I believe I heard on Utah's Morning News this morning that El Paso, the cases there are so out of control, they're just telling everybody to stay home for a couple of weeks. So where are we going to get the staff from if we need people here? This is why I think it's so important right now. It's just we got to take every precaution possible and mask up and socially distance.
No question. We've got to do our part. We've got to see if we can control something. But we've been extremely unsuccessful. There are mask orders in place right now. I can tell you, anecdotally, when I go out, everybody's masked up. You know, so where is it spreading? We've talked about private gatherings. That's one of the things that you are hearing a lot from our leaders, talking about this is happening in private gatherings. Well, that's the problem.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.